in that episode, she suffers and Ruby is put in the position of victim, perpetrator, and rescuer, you know?
Yes.
Because part of why she does what she does at the end is because of what she sees him do to Tamra.
I want to talk a little more about that stiletto Cardi B scene because I don't like to say what the show is, even though that's literally my job. But part of my resistance comes from like, no, the point is we sat in a writer's room and we made this up being guided by Matt Ruff's book. But it's not our job to tell you what every single thing means. And it's not our not even my job to tell you this is exactly what you're supposed to feel. That is the beauty of this episode and other episodes that are coming. We're not going to tell you if Ruby was right or wrong. We're not going to tell you how you should feel watching that scene, but I suspect you felt 12 different things. And one thing that the scene is definitely about is what Black women get to do with their rage and what they get to do with their anger. And we had this, we talked about it for so long in the room, this question of like, basically, should we do the scene, period? Because it's an interesting idea. But somebody in the room said, well, that white man has to do a lot of bad things first before Ruby assaults him. We have to know that he's like the worst guy ever. And initially that sounded right. But as we talked about it and we talked about like, well, wait, how many rape scenes have we all watched on television where nobody did anything to, quote unquote, deserve it? Nobody was, Sansa was minding her business.
Right.
Several other women on that show were minding their business. And on many other shows, women minding their business and getting raped. Why do we have to, how much justification do we need for Ruby to do this? And is there a problem with even asking that question? But then there's also the reality, which is like, this is violent and it's a person with power doing a violent, horrifying thing. And I think what we came to was, but like what we're saying with the other characters, of course she's doing a horrible, violent thing. We live in America. We don't really know how else to feel powerful. And we also all come from a history of watching and knowing how many white men have done this. So we didn't need to see, I think his name is Paul, the manager. We didn't need to see Paul actually rape Tamra. We didn't need to see that scene go any further than it did because the way that I look at it, Ruby is tired of being interrupted and she comes from a long line of Black women who have been interrupted. And when I say interrupted at this point, I'm literally talking about raped, meaning like this entire country. And I'm just going to rattle off names of like some women that we talked about in the room that are haunting around Ruby's head when she sees Paul and Tamra. She's not just looking at Paul and Tamra. She's looking at Recy Taylor, who was raped by 6 men, including a U.S. Army private. She's looking at Sally Hemings, who was raped by Thomas Jefferson, our third president. She's looking at Sojourner Truth, who was raped by her white mistress, Sally Dumont. The many, many Black women, I'm thinking about these women now, the many Black women who were raped by this awful human being, Daniel Holtzclaw. Our mothers, our grandmothers, our great-grandmothers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's happening in that scene, in my opinion, along with everything else that's happening, along with Ruby's own frustrations with her own life. She's also just like, I'm fucking tired of this. And also, I'm a little bit complicit, right?
Right.
In what's happening with Tamra right now. And she takes that rage and she does this crazy, monstrous, also thrilling thing.
I think one of the things that this whole episode is really toying with or playing with is the question of what we do with our anger, period. And not just in terms of like what we do with it when we express it, but also how we metabolize it and what we've been taught to do with it. So many of our emotional reactions are learned reactions. We mirror. We do what we've learned to do. And it's not necessarily, you know, in this moment anyway, it's not necessarily that like this is something I've been waiting to do forever. It's like I saw the opportunity and I took it for everybody who didn't have the opportunity. Now, is that right? That you have to decide that according to your own moral code, right?
Yeah.
But I don't know if the most important question is it right? I think the more important question is, where did it come from? And what do we do now that we know it's here?
Yes. There was this moment in the room where Sonia and Jay, who wrote the episode with Misha, brought in all this research from the 1950s. And I'm going to share some of that in the references and recommendations. But it wasn't always a stiletto. We didn't know how it was going to happen, but they found out that the same exact year that our episode was going to be taking place, the stiletto had been invented. And the like excitement that I felt when they presented that information is also disturbing me right now, just in thinking about what you're saying, which is like, it's not a question of right or wrong. It's kind of a question of like, why do we feel this way? Why do we feel vindicated, but also disturbed, but also excited, but also like angry? Like, what are all those feelings about? And so I hope that everybody watching will really take some time to sit with all the many feelings that this episode brought about and really like interrogate them. And we're going to leave you guys with some references and recommendations that might actually help you unpack some of those feelings. So first, I wanted to share this. It's a YouTube video called The New Girl in the Office. It's an old film from the 60s, and it's about how an office changes when the Black girl is hired. And we used this in the writer's room to craft a lot of the department store scenes. And it's a powerful, strange, disturbing film. And so I invite everybody to check that out. Fearing the Black Body by Sabrina Strings. All About Love, New Visions by Bell Hooks, Kimberle Crenshaw's 1989 essay, Demarginalizing the Intersection of Race and Sex, a Black Feminist Critique of Anti-Discrimination Doctrine, Feminist Theory, and Anti-Racist Politics. What else do we have, Ashley?
Frank Ocean's Bad Religion, When Montrose Won't Kiss Sammy. I was like, no, they didn't play this song.
But we did.
And in the scene where Moses Sumney's Lonely World. There's something about this current moment in music where a lot of the most popular musicians are Black men singing about their queerness, and I'm here for it. I'm into it.
Yes.
The book Passing by Nella Larson, For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough by Ntozake Shange, an article about Carol Walker by Zadie Smith, What Do We Want History to Do to Us, Watermelon Woman, a film by this episode's director, Cheryl Dunier. And I just wanted to include really quickly The Vanishing Half by Britt Bennett. Also Eloquent Rage by Dr. Brittany Cooper.
Yes. Yes.